This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. Our guest today is Avideh Shoshani. She will talk to us about Sufism, about poetry, her own work, and great Sufi poets. And here is Avideh with her own poem.
People of the world, tell me where to be born. If I were born in the land of your interest, would you let me die? People of the world, my name is Holocaust, and I'm 50-plus years old. My name is Sarajevo, and I'm 3 years old. My name is Bihak, and I'm but a month old. I have no name. I'm yet to be born. People of the world, tell me where to be born, so you will not hate me one day, so you will not maim me one day, so you will not kill me one day. People of the world, tell me where to be born.
That is the voice of Avideh Shoshani. I'm Grace Cavalieri. Avideh is the founder and president of the Fund for the Future of Our Children. As you can tell, the spirit of that mission is evident in the poem that we just heard. And this organization is dedicated to helping children globally to empower them as agents of peace. Avideh is also a scholar of Sufism and Persian poetry, and we're going to hear a little bit about that. Avideh, the poem that you just read is very interesting to me because it's an example of the work you do now works for you later. Tell us the story about how you wrote that and what happened to it.
Well, the story is simple. It was during the time of the Bosnia conflict, and I was just so totally depressed by what I saw in the news. I just took up the pen and wrote this poem. It was just an automatic response to what was going on. And this was written many years ago, many, many years ago. And 2 years ago, I had a phone call from a woman saying that she wanted to use this poem for a program. So I called her back and I asked her what it was for. And she said that she works with the Conference of Catholic Bishops, and they're having a program here in Washington on children of war, and whether or not they could publish this as a bookmark.
And so the thing I like about this best is that you did not go out in ego. You did not go out showboating. The seed you planted wound up someplace, and you have no idea how it got there. Avideh Shoshani, she's our poet. She has written two books, Promised Paradise and Remember Me. She's also translated 10 mystical texts from Persian. Right now, we're going to go back to one of her own poems. Here's Avideh.
O Mother, Father, God, Holy Man, I plead with you. Kill me before you abandon me in the streets. Kill me before you push me in the ring of vultures. Kill me before you sell me to the pimps, the pedophiles, the thieves. Kill me before you let others kill my soul. I plead with you. Kill me before they kill my soul.
Avideh Shoshani, that is from a new book entitled Scarlet Tears, which I know is forthcoming in 2006. And that also is a cry for mercy. Avideh, along with your own work, we're very interested in knowing what Sufism is. I'm not saying that everything you write is in that tradition, but the fact that you are practicing Sufi, you have just returned from Mecca, Medina, to make a pilgrimage. Would you please be able to tell us what Sufism is?
Sufism is the mystical dimension of Islam. It's the heart of Islam. Sufis have been the ones who've carried the very essence of Islam through the ages. Islam has had a tendency to become ossified by the clerics and people who put so much structure around it that its very essence is missed. But the Sufis have managed to tune in and live the love that is exemplified by the sayings of the Prophet and the Holy Book, the Quran.
Are there a lot of Sufi poets in history?
Many, yes.
Why is it we do know a couple, and that's the ones we're going to talk about today are the ones that are well known. Rumi, for example. Can you give us, that is right now in every classroom in America, and I don't understand this epidemic, which I love. But can you tell us, first of all, who Rumi was?
Rumi is probably one, if not the greatest, one of the greatest, the mystical Islamic mystics in history. He was born in Balkh, Persia, current-day Afghanistan, in 1207. And he later on moved with his family to Konya, Turkey. Rumi is claimed by many people. He's claimed by the Persians, he's claimed by the Afghans, he's claimed by the Turks. But I think now we see that Rumi really belongs to everybody. His soul lives on, and he belongs to all of us.
Would you give us a sample of Rumi?
With pleasure. This poem is that I will read for you is the opening of the opening poem of his book called the Masnavi. And the Masnavi is more than 30,000 verses. Rumi has written more than 40,000 verses of lyrical poetry and more than 25,000 lines of didactic verse. And you can just imagine what that encompasses. But he never really sat down to write poetry. His poetry came through his state of ecstasy, his spiritual ascension. So this, the poem I'm going to read for you is quite famous. It's called Song of the Reed. Listen to the song of the reed, how it wails with pain of separation. Ever since I was taken from my reed bed, my woeful song has caused men and women to weep. I seek out those whose hearts are torn by separation, for only they understand the pain of this longing. Whoever is taken away from his homeland yearns for the day he will return. In every gathering among those who are happy or sad, I cry with the same lament. Everyone hears according to his understanding. None has searched for the secrets within me. My secret is found in my lament. But an eye or ear without light cannot know it. The sound of the reed comes from fire, not wind. What use is one's life without this fire? It is the fire of love that brings music to the reed. It is the ferment of love that gives taste to the wine. The song of the reed soothes the pain of lost love. Its melody sweeps the veils from the heart. Can there be a poison so bitter or sugar so sweet as the song of the reed? To hear the song of the reed, everything you have ever known must be left behind.
Oh, Avideh Shoshani. This is the poet and the poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri. Avideh is reading Rumi. You mean to tell us that he never wrote anything down?
As he was saying the poetry, people were transcribing it. He was in a state of ecstasy.
And how were they able then to preserve it, to your way of understanding? They, through the ages, they just passed it down orally?
No, it's been written down from the very beginning.
Do we have different versions, I wonder?
No, it's only, as far as I know, only one version.
So he really inspired the people who were listening to him.
There were a few people who were his...
Oh, his followers.
Yes.
And how do you feel that the translation you just read is faithful to what might have been said by him? Do you think that's a pretty good translation, as far as you know?
I find this is a translation by Jonathan Starr, and it, no translation can really capture what Persian poets write. It's very, very difficult to translate Persian poetry because of its music, because of its nuances, its subtleties. It's very difficult. I've tried to translate Persian poetry, but it's really very difficult. But this, I find, has captured the meaning, and it's not a dry translation.
Mm. So as a scholar of Persian poetry also, you really are looking for the heart.
Yes.
And the light in
yes.
it. As a Sufi,
yes.
you're not saying this vowel should have been there.
Right.
And I know I have seen your own translations of mystical texts, and they are breathtaking. So you once told me, how many words are there in Persian for love? Or did I imagine that? More than American, more than English.
Oh, of course, yes.
So there might be like 9 or 10 or many, many. You must make choices as you translate from Persian
well,
to English.
Persian is essentially a genderless language. And because it's a genderless language, you can have so many different nuances to it to perhaps hide what you're saying, perhaps if you're... If you don't want to reveal who you're writing to, it could be anything.
Oh, that's
good. But when it's translated into English, they always give it a gender.
Oh, that's good. I like that. That explains a lot. That's mm-hmm. Avi Deshashani speaking to us. I'm Grace Cavalieri. Can we have one more by Rumi?
Yes.
Because I think that he's really very much known by our young people today studying poetry, and we need to talk a little bit about how that happened. I'm not quite sure whether it was that Coleman Barks did such a great marketing job on his translations of Rumi or what it was.
Coleman Barks did a fine job of really bringing Rumi to the public. What he did, he made Rumi's poetry accessible to the average person. And it's a difficult thing to do. Maybe it's not a highly academic approach to it, but it's a way of making Rumi present in every household. So
that's important.
Made an important contribution, I believe. Yes,
we're talking about Rumi, and once again, his dates were
1207 to 1273. Dancing in ecstasy you go, my soul of souls. Don't go without me. Laughing with your friends you enter the garden. Don't go without me. Don't let the sky turn without me. Don't let the moon shine without me. Don't let the earth spin without me. Don't let the days pass without me. The two worlds are joyous because of you. Don't stay in this world without me. Don't go to the next world without me. Don't let your eyes look without me. Don't let your tongue speak without me. Don't let your hands hold without me. Don't let your soul stir without me. Moonlight reveals the sky's bright face. I am the light. You are the moon. Don't rise without me. The thorn is protected by the rose. You are the rose. I am the thorn. Don't show your beauty without me. I am the curve of your melee, the bits of stone beneath your chisel. Don't strike the stone without me. Don't move the chisel without me. O joyous companion of the king, don't drink without me. O watchman on the rooftop, don't stay up without me. Woe to those who travel alone. You know every sign. You've walked upon every path. Don't go without me. Some call you love. I call you the king of love. You are beyond all imaginings, taking me places I can't even dream of. O ruler of my heart, wherever you go, don't go without me.
Woe to those who travel alone. Avide, who is that poem addressed to?
To Shams. As you know, Rumi was a theologian. He had the Quran memorized. He was a scholar.
He had the Quran memorized?
Yes, most of it probably. 114 surahs and many verses. He was steeped in Islamic law, in the sayings of the Prophet. I mean, he was a theologian. And he was highly regarded as a theologian until one day Shams of Tabriz shows up. And that's when he becomes an ecstatic person, that he gives up all he has for love.
To follow him.
Yes, it was a spark. They often call them the two oceans meeting. So Shams was...
His beloved.
His beloved, the person who really transformed Rumi from... being such a kind of a dry theologian to what he became as this embodiment of love.
But would Shams be the conveyor of God?
Yes.
And therefore
he saw beloved. He saw God in through Shams.
So it was not a physical adoration.
No,
it was that he was his mentor.
He was his mentor, and he really represented that divine essence that we all look for.
And he left his family. He had children.
No, he didn't leave anywhere. He stayed there. Shams came to Konya where he was.
And lived there.
And was there for a little while and left. Shams left. And when Shams left for the first time, Rumi was in total despair. That's when he starts writing. But then but he sends for Shams. He finally finds with Shams' whereabouts, and then he comes back. And then after a few years, Shams leaves for good. And some say he was killed by the jealous followers or other
I heard
people.
He was killed by Rumi's son.
There are many different theories about that, but yes, that's one of them.
Mm-hmm. Would you read us a little in Persian of Rumi?
Yes.
Just a short amount.
This is actually from the Divan Shams-e Tabriz.
Avideh Shoshani is talking to us.
And well, just to show his total devotion to Shams, this magnificent work that he's written, these thousands of verses that he's written, he's named every single poem after Shams. So he doesn't have his own pen name, but it's the poems end with Shams. So this is what we call totally being dissolved in the presence of the beloved, that he no longer existed, but he existed through Shams. بن مای روح که باغ و گلستانم آرزوست بکشای لب که قند فراوانم آرزوست ای آفتاب روح بن مای از نقاب ابر کان چهره مشعشع تابانم آرزوست بشنیدم از هوای تو آواز طبل باز آمد که ساعد سلطانم آرزوست گفتی زناز بیش مرنجان مرا برو آن گفتند که بیش مرنجانم آرزوست و آن دفع گفتند که برون شو به خانه نیست و آن ناز و کبر و تندی دربانم آرزوست ای باد خوش که از چمن دوست میوزی بر من بوز که مژده ریحانم آرزوست آن نان و آب چرخ چو سیل است بی وفا من ماهی نهنگم و عمانم آرزوست
I think I hear some words repeated. That much I hear. The music is very ethereal. Are the pauses on the page, or is that the cadence of your voice and your interpretation, or are they there for any reader? Or is that the way Persian is laid out?
This is the way it's written. One would have to read it this way. It's not. It's the words that flow together. It's the string. It's a string of pearls.
Thank you.
Or perhaps diamonds that has many, many different reflections.
Oh.
Each one has different meanings, different nuances, and depends how much of the meaning one captures, and then one would probably read it accordingly.
What a pleasure. Something we would not usually get. We are at the Library of Congress, and Avideh Shoshani is visiting us. I'm Grace Cavalieri. She is a woman with many degrees. One of them is in psychology. She has a graduate degree in educational planning and management, and her PhD is in Sufi studies. And there's also another part of her that I like to champion, and that's Avideh Shoshani, poet. So I'd like to hear some of your own work now. Will this be from your forthcoming book?
Yes.
Scarlet Tears.
Scarlet Tears. My soul. Do you know why the candle flame looks serene and sad? The only way it can see itself is to burn and melt. It knows it must burn and melt so it can see itself. It watches its reflection mirrored in the pool made of its own slow death.
And another.
O people of heart, listen to my distress. I journeyed through the dark. I passed through the blazing fire. I left the ruins behind. The oceans have called me. O people of heart, I have brought you my ashes. Let me smell the earth one more time. Let the earth take my tears and in return grow vineyards. O people of heart, remember me when you drink of the vineyard's wine. Remember the traveler who brought you her ashes and in their place vineyards grew. Drink, people of heart, and remember me. Let the oceans take my ashes. Let the waves sway me to and fro, deeper and deeper into the horizon, till I forget this journey of darkness. You are all I have. Through you I become the wind without a memory and wrap myself around each slender swaying branch and leaf of the willow tree and make my way through the oceans, the desert, and the jagged edges of mountaintops. Through you I become the honeybee reaching for the nectar of the honeysuckle or the honeysuckle waiting for the humming visits of the honeybee. Like a whistle that sets out and becomes invisible, through you I become anything I desire. How can I not be free if I still have you? No one can take you from me. You are all I have. You are what takes me out of the bounds of this penitentiary.
And another, because we're getting a very good flavor of your new book. This is Avideh Shoshani. I'm Grace Cavalieri, and we're at the Library of Congress.
Once upon a time, not too long ago, I looked in a mirror and saw a familiar face. We looked at each other. I said, "Who are you?" "A stranger," she replied. I said, "Where are you from?" "I have no home," she said. "I'm as ancient as time and as young as tomorrow. But tell me, who are you? Where did you come from?" I said, "I'm as young as you and as old as tomorrow. I'm yet to be born. I have no home."
The voice of Avideh Shoshani. There is something similar in your work and in the other Persian poets, and that is a lack of direct ego, in that the poet is not in the middle of the landscape with Rumi, and it is not in the middle of the landscape for Avideh Shoshani. It is also as if you're addressing your poetry to the beloved.
Yes.
And I think that that can almost say, not that you're influenced by Persian poetry, but that you are occupying the same reality that Rumi occupied. Would that be safe to say?
That's true. I think the search is the same search. It's the same search and the same purpose of becoming one with the beloved. And as the Candle Flame poem that I wrote is the very heart of what the journey is about, that we lose that which we are and become dissolved in the beloved. And this requires that we give up our ego, that we give up our sense of self, the little self. And by giving up the little self, we gain that ever-eternal self that we're longing for.
I know that you have just returned from Mecca, Medina. Can you tell me what you have experienced personally as far as an artist?
As far as not being an artist, and perhaps as far as being a human being, I can address that perhaps a little bit more. One of the most significant experiences that I had during this trip was seeing people from all walks of life gathered in one place, whether they're old, whether they're ill, whether they're bereft, whether rich, poor. Everybody had one goal while they were there, and that was seeking closeness to God. No one looks any different than another person. Everybody's dressed alike. Everybody looks alike. One senses that the feeling that God, everyone is equal before God. That sense of being equal before God, no matter who you are, what station of life you're in, how great you are, everyone is the same before God. So that was really a magnificent experience for me.
Where was it?
This was in Mecca. But the same holds true in Medina, too. It's wonderful to witness so many thousands and thousands and thousands of people pouring to Medina and Mecca just for the sole purpose of...
In Saudi Arabia.
In Saudi Arabia, yes.
Read us another poem.
This is called Talisman. Is it you that I adore, or are you a filament of my imagination come to life? Is it you that brought my heart to life, or is it the long-awaited dream that has come to life? Each night I place my languishing heart in the palm of my eyes, hoping it will venture out beyond the horizon where dreams leave the world behind. Each morn when I awake from a wakeful slumber, my eyes in a drunken swoon caress your memory over and over and over again. Is it you that my heart races towards, or is it a rarefied dream that has enclosed me in its embrace?
This is The Poet and the Poem from the Library of Congress. I'm Grace Cavalieri.